Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, what's up, Victory? Thank you so much for joining us here at Church Online today. My name is Pastor Chris. I'm the pastor of Victory, and I just want to say welcome. You are in the right place. We're heading into the summer, and I'm calling this the Summer of Victory because I believe this is going to be the greatest summer of our lives. Why? Because it will be the greatest summer of our lives spiritually. We've got so many great things going on here this summer, ways for you to be involved and connect deeply with your Heavenly Father and your church family. I want to tell you about a few. Coming up this Saturday, June 12th, is our next Hope Truck Outreach. And you are invited to come and help us to serve those in our community with the life-giving message of Jesus, giving boxes of groceries away. It's going to be an amazing day. Meet us Saturday, June 12th, 12 noon at our team center. And then coming up just a few short weeks from now is Father's Day. It's going to be an awesome day, June 20th. Now, in 2020, we could not have bacon giveaways at our Father's Day, but I'm here to tell you it's back, baby. Bacon Day for Father's Day for all the dads. It's going to be an awesome day, and I can't wait. Invite your dad. Invite a dad you know. It's going to be a powerful Sunday. And then Sunday, June 27th, I'm telling you what, I've had this date circled on my calendar for a while. Special guest, a dear friend of mine, and one of our overseers here at the church, Pastor Devin Webb, is going to be in the house bringing the word. I'm telling you what, do not miss that Sunday. God is going to speak to you. And then, of course, coming up every Sunday in July, our At the Movies series. One of my favorite things we do all year is At the Movies. And this year, you can get it only in person. You got to be in the room. We'll have special services streaming online, but because of copyright reasons, we cannot stream our At the Movies online. So you've got to be in the room. It's going to be powerful. Invite some people that you know. Now, today for me is a special day in my life because it is my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. I love you. And I have this great memory of me and my dad where I'm riding on his back as a little kid, and I've got on a Harley shirt. Come on, Harley motorcycles, just similar to this one. So that's why I'm wearing it today. I love you, Dad. Happy birthday. Let's take just a moment and pray to prepare our hearts and our minds for the word today. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and your grace. God, I pray today as we're gathered that you would speak to each and every one of us. God, we want to hear from you. So let your word come alive inside of our hearts. Let it take root and produce fruit in us because we are good ground. And if you agree, let me hear you shout amen. Well, for those that don't know, one of my favorite people in the Bible is David. And so much is written about the life of David. And in fact, the only person who has more written about their life in the Bible than David is Jesus. So apparently there was something God wanted us to learn from the life of David. I've preached several messages on the life of David in the past, but this message today, this is something new that God has been teaching me and bringing me through. You know, there are times when God will reteach us something that we thought we knew before, right? Because of the current situation we're facing, the current obstacles. And sometimes it's just because, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. He knows more than we do, and He has more for us to learn and more for us to apply to our lives. So He'll teach us new lessons from things that we thought we already knew. There's this amazing story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I believe it will speak to us today. And I believe that it will help us in all that we're going through to bring some sense of hope, some light to those situations. I know me and my wife, Heather, we've been talking in great detail lately about all that we've been going through. And God, this week, brought me back to this story. And so I felt to preach it to myself and to help all of us as well. I hope today you're ready to be encouraged, to be strengthened in your faith, and to stand strong in the midst of whatever's trying to rain down on you. If you have your Bibles or the Free YouVersion Bible app, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. While you're turning there, let me help set the stage of what's happening in the story. David has been on the run, hiding with his 600 fighting men and their families. They're hiding from King Saul of Israel. King Saul was trying to kill David. And David finally comes up with an idea to escape Saul and keep their family safe. So he strikes up a deal with a king in a region called Gath. And this king was from the Philistines. And the king of Gath gave David a city to live in, a place to be safe with his families. And the city was called Ziklag. And meanwhile, the Philistines were at war with King Saul and the Israelites. So there was a large and decisive battle that was beginning to take place, was looming on the horizon. The king of Gath said, David, since I gave you the city, why don't you come fight for me against the Israelites? And so David, once he shows up with his fighting men at the battle, none of the Philistine commanders wanted David there. They didn't want David fighting with them because previously, David was the one who had been fighting against them. He had killed Goliath and led the armies of Israel against the Philistines, defeating them. And so they're like, we don't trust him. He's got to go. So they sent David and his men away, and they began to travel the 50-mile, three-day journey back home to Ziklag. That's where we pick up the story today, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now, the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off and as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. That's a pretty devastating scene to come home to. It's true that life can throw you some curves sometimes, you know what I mean? It's the thing sometimes that you see coming, and other times it's the curveball that you didn't see coming that, man, hits you out of nowhere, and it can feel like you're set back in such a way, man, how could I ever recover from this? Even in our world recently, pre-COVID-19, right, things were great. Unemployment was at an all-time low. The economy was booming. Things were growing, expanding. And then out of nowhere, an unseen enemy that we never saw coming hit hard. And we found ourselves shut down, isolated, and just trying to figure out basic things like how can we be in the same room together safely again, you know? And life has enough things happening in it without all of the big stuff happening, you know? Not everything is a big deal, but oftentimes things seem like a big deal, or there's other times where things just seem like they're piling up one after another, and it can be so easy in this life just to feel overwhelmed in those moments, just with everything going on. And that's exactly where David found himself in the story. David and his 600 mighty men. And these dudes were on a roll for three straight months, day after day, battle after battle. They fought, they won, they dominated. Man, they were large and in charge, you know what I'm saying? 3 months of fighting and winning. And they're now finally headed home to see their families and get some rest. But after they take this long three-day journey home, they're approaching their town and they begin to see smoke rising on the horizon where their home should be. There are flames and smoke. Imagine the panic that begins to set in as they begin to move a little faster. The emotions they must have felt as they ride up to their city that is now burned to the ground. No more houses there, just piles of rubble and ash. Where there should be the sounds of their kids and their families shouting and joyful sounds, there's nothing. It's silent. Everyone is missing. Everything is gone. Everything is completely destroyed. No trace of anyone. David was winning everywhere he went, but it was the enemy he didn't notice that slipped in undetected and destroyed everything. I believe more times than not, this is how our spiritual enemy, the devil, loves to operate. We're out there doing great things for God, providing for our family, operating in our spiritual gifts, serving other people, doing what we feel called to do, and then out of kind of this back door, this kind of something tries to slip in undetected to destroy our lives, our families, and our calling. Remember, that's the devil. That's what he loves to do. He is a deceiver. He likes to trick and be sneaky. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." The devil, he's like a roaring lion. That means he's pretending to be something that he's not. He's trying to be sneaky. He's trying to get in undetected. And so, in other words, we need to be on high alert for the big and the small things, the little things, the things that want to wear us down, that wants to get us to lower our standards, the things that want to get us pulled away from the presence of God, that wants to get us overly busy, overly worried. Most of us won't have a horde of raiders riding in on horses to burn down our house and all that kind of stuff. But there are plenty of other things just waiting for a moment where we're not on guard to slip in. For some, that's the flirtatious or lustful thoughts that constantly roll around in their mind. For others, it's those inappropriate images on a screen. Maybe it's an addiction to pills or a bottle or some other substance. For some, it's the quiet enemy of comfort and convenience that, even without realizing over this last year, it's pulled you away from being in church and being connected to believers, even serving others. For some people, it's offense and bitterness that snuck in. It came from a hurt. It came from a conversation or something you expected of someone else and they didn't meet your expectations. And so this thing snuck in and you didn't even realize that offense and bitterness had grabbed a hold of your life. Whatever it is in your life, make no mistake, your spiritual enemy, the devil, loves to bring the small, undetected things to grow in our lives, all in the hopes that one day it'll overwhelm us and destroy everything. Song of Songs was written by Solomon, who is David's son. And in chapter 2, verse 15, we hear this lesson that David is teaching Solomon, that he taught to him. Solomon writes, "Catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyards." In other words, it's the little things that slip in that ruin everything. David found himself in this place, and in one area of his life, he's winning. But over here, things are falling apart. He's lost everything. And Scripture tells us that he began to be overwhelmed. Anyone ever been in that kind of place before? It's that moment of destruction and loss. All the wins and victories, they take a back seat to the feeling of anxiety, being overwhelmed, and all the emotions that follow. Verse 4, "So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep." Now that is deep anguish. This is not like, "Oh, I shed a tear, that was so moving." This is like soul-wrenching, broken anguish, right? David and his men are weeping. Think about this for a minute. These are mighty men. Their exploits on the battlefield, they're legendary to this day. One of these mighty men killed 800 enemies with only a spear. Another killed 300 by himself. Another of these mighty men went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion with his bare hands. Three of these mighty men fought through an entire outpost of enemy troops just to fetch a cup of water for David from a well. I'm telling you what, these guys were savage. They had muscles everywhere. They had glorious manly beards. These guys were the original Avengers. You know what I'm saying? You thought Marvel was original, but it's got from the Bible, you know? Like, the Avengers only wish they could be one of David's mighty men. These dudes were legit. They were mighty men. And it's these guys who are weeping, completely broken over the loss of their wives and their children, over their homes being destroyed. Everything that they thought was there was gone. Strong men, when they saw their homes burned down and everything missing, broken and weeping. And I don't think it was because they were just tired physically, but something deep emotionally. They wept until they had no more strength to weep. I believe that's what our spiritual enemy, the devil, wants to do to each and every one of us, to make strong men and women weak. Maybe not physically, but emotionally, spiritually. Things like to be overwhelming, like it'll never stop. Can I just catch a break, you know? And it's in that place. I've seen so many people, especially over this last year and a half during the pandemic, people feel overwhelmed and they don't know what to do and all these things. And so they turn to things they never thought would be an issue in their life and find themselves stuck in a trap and don't know how to get out, feeling overwhelmed. So I think the question then becomes, where do we turn when we feel overwhelmed? Where do we look for help when life feels out of control? This is a good place to stop and point out. David and his men, they're weeping, they're crying. One translation says they lifted up their voices. So this wasn't like just an internal thing. This was out loud. There's tears and cries and screams. It's implying, this text is almost implying, it's okay to feel and express feelings. It's okay to, it's not a lack of faith to show disappointment or discouragement. It's not a lack of faith to feel confused. Why did this happen? God, where were you? Why didn't you stop this? I believe that God understands those emotions. He knows our humanity, right? He made us. So I believe it's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. You're allowed to feel like, this really hurts. This isn't right. It's okay to need a minute or two to process everything that happened. And sometimes as Christians, though, we like to have this perfect, shiny little image. You know the one. Every time you talk to someone, they're like, I'm great. I'm blessed. Nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. And honestly, I don't think it's healthy individually or spiritually to act like everything's fine when sometimes it's not. And I would say it this way. Everybody doesn't need to know all the stuff in your life, but if nobody knows, man, then you're in real trouble. Now, I'm not talking about flaunting your issues to everyone all the time. I'm not talking about always having a sob story and that's all there ever is. I'm not talking about speaking doubt or worry all the time. No, I believe 100% in speaking faith and calling those things that are not as though they are, right? But at the same time, to live in faith, to live as a Christian, is not to live in denial. We have issues. We have things we're dealing with, and sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we need to weep. Sometimes we need to cry. It's just then that we live with a different perspective on what we experience and what our ultimate goal is. Our goal is not just to have this life be perfect. Our goal is to please our Heavenly Father and to live for eternity so that the issues of this life, while they're real and while they affect me, they don't rule me. Though I might go through some things that cause me to pause and weep for a moment, they will not stop me from getting back up, moving forward, and doing what God has called me and gifted me to do. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise if you've ever had to get back up from something again. Now, I gotta say this, expressing emotions and feelings is never a license to take it out on another person. It's never a license to manipulate someone else with our feelings or even to be an emotional wreck all the time. There is a reaction to things. There is a response. David and his mighty men, they're weeping until they had no more strength in their body. But what then? You know, when that moment of grieving finally kind of subsides, what then? I know people who come to that what then moment, even people who've lost a loved one. Man, that's a really tough road to walk. If you've lost a loved one, just know my heart goes out to you. I'm praying for you. I know how hard it is because I've lost people in my life. I've lost a daughter. I've lost my mom, grandparents. Man, it's so hard. It's tough. But sometimes people will go through that season. And can I tell you, there is godly grief. There is a way to grieve and to cry and to mourn those that we've lost. It's natural. It's part of our humanity. We need that. But Scripture tells us, don't mourn like those who have no hope. We mourn, but we mourn differently because our hope is in Christ. And I just know sometimes people, they spend the rest of their lives in sorrow and grief, mourning the loss. They never get over it. But the good news is God has a better way for us. I mean, even Jesus, think about that. He went to the tomb where Lazarus was buried, and he wept over Lazarus while he knew he was about to raise him from the dead. So it is good to pause and to cry and to grieve, to get that stuff out. That's what Scripture teaches us. But we also recognize I can get up from there and I can do what God has called me to do. I can speak to a dead thing and cause resurrection power to come into it. Jesus wept for Lazarus, but then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Life came into Lazarus's body and he got up out of that grave. And sometimes we need to get up out of that grave and begin to walk forward. And it's from there in that place of pain and sorrow that we have that decision to make. It's the fork in the road moment. Are we going to stay in that place where we're discouraged, broken, disappointed, hurt, whatever? It's the decision that it feels so easy in the moment to just stay there. But I'm just telling you, you can do all things. You can rise up out of that place. I mean, David's mighty men, they were in that place where they had to decide. They were upset. They were angry. They were tired. They were weeping. And they decided to come after David. In verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him, not the 70s kind, throwing rocks at him until it killed him. Each one of the men was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Let me say, be careful how close you let bitter and grieved people be in your life, because eventually they will become bitter and grieved towards you and want to stone you as well. David felt discouraged by this, and that's probably putting it mildly. I'm sure he was freaked out. 600 of some of the greatest warriors this world has ever seen, and they wanted to kill him? Yeah, I would say he was a little distressed about that. But at the same time, we can feel overwhelmed and distressed. We can decide to get up out of that place where we're not dominated by emotions and feelings. We can make a decision to go the other way. We can allow the disappointment and the pain and the overwhelm to drive us further from God, or we can allow it to be the thing that drives us to the presence of God. What did David do in that place where when he was grieving, he was upset, his friends had turned on him, and everything was falling apart? Verse 6, this is a key for us today. David found strength in the Lord his God. Come on, one translation says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There has to be a time when we start saying, if I don't get help from anybody else, I will encourage myself in the Lord. When the worship team isn't there to sing a song and build my faith and worship, when someone's not there to pray with me, when someone doesn't text me a prayer or a Bible verse after a rough day at work, I will encourage myself. Come on, we got to encourage ourselves. And here David is showing us the secret of who you can count on to be there to help you draw close to God. Spoiler alert, it's you. You're with yourself 100% of the time, and you have the ability, even when you're down and discouraged, to encourage yourself in the Lord. There's got to be a root inside of us that is deeper than the pain or the trouble or the relationship or whatever else. A root that when we're squeezed, a root that when we're pressed hard enough, that what comes out of us isn't just more pain. The root that goes down deep inside of us, that what comes out of us is praise. That when we don't have anybody else to count on, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor, that sounds really great, but how do I encourage myself in the Lord? That's a great question. Thanks for asking. Today, I want to give us three keys to encouraging yourself in the Lord. If you're taking notes, hopefully you'll write these down. Here's the first one. Rehearse your victories. If you want to encourage yourself in the Lord, rehearse your past victories. Now, David didn't have anyone to help him. His family was gone. His kids were taken. His home was burned to the ground. All of his possessions were taken. He didn't have any hope, any encouragement in anything. But come on, he began to tap into some encouragement deep within himself by rehearsing past victories. Now, I'm not talking about your just accomplishments. You know, like when I was 6 years old, I won player of the year in my soccer league. That's great. That's not what I'm talking about. I got a raise at work because I worked so hard. Like that's great. But I'm talking about past victories where God did something amazing in your life, where God showed up, where you experienced the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Well, Pastor, you just don't know my life. There's nothing really good. God hasn't really done anything amazing. You know, I've never experienced a victory or a miracle from God. Oh no? Did you wake up today? Do you have two arms and two hands that work? Do you have two legs and two feet that you can walk and run on? Do you have food on your table every night that you get to choose? Is your table inside a structure that wasn't built with cardboard boxes that you found somewhere? Do you have a car that you drive around? Come on, you've seen the faithfulness of God. Do you have breath in your lungs? Come on, you've seen the goodness of God. I can just imagine David reminding himself, hey, remember that time I was out in the hills with dad's sheep and the lion and the bear came and I killed it and to rescue the sheep? And I remember when I ran out to the giant Goliath who was cursing my God and everyone said it was impossible to defeat him and I knocked him over with a stone and then took his sword and cut off his head? What was David doing? He was rehearsing the victories of God in his life. You can read it all throughout the book of Psalms. That's what he did. He's rehearsing what God has done. Every time that God was there for him, every time he felt down, but then he turned to God. Where can I look to for my help? My help comes from you, God. See, when I rehearse something, I'm thinking about it. I'm replaying it in my mind. Oftentimes I talk about it. I'll sing about it. I'll sing a song that reminds me about what it does. See, the thing that I'm rehearsing in my heart and in my mind is often the very thing that I am praising. So the question is, what are you rehearsing? Many people rehearse the pain. They rehearse the disappointment. They rehearse the letdown. Others are rehearsing the bitterness and the loneliness. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we just gotta shake off that kind of stuff. Like, just gotta quit that feeling sorry for yourself talk, you know? Like, quit talking down to yourself. Start talking to yourself about all the times God kept you safe, all the times God provided for you, all the times someone spoke to you the word of God right when you need it. Come on, I'm just glad to be surrounded by a bunch of people who've decided I'm gonna rehearse the goodness and the faithfulness of God in my life. Come on, thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for the cross and for his resurrection. Thank you, God, for my spouse and my kids. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, God, for my home, for my vehicles. Thank you, God, for Florida. Come on, I know it's hot and rainy, but thank you, God, for the beach. Thank you for all the lakes and the ponds that we get to enjoy. Thank you for my vehicle and the gas to put in it that I can drive around in all this crazy traffic. Come on, what are we rehearsing? When I'm rehearsing something, I'm offering my praise to it. So when I need to encourage myself and God, I'm gonna rehearse all that God has done for me. I'm gonna give God my praise. Why? God has never failed you and he never will. Come on, here's the second thing to encourage yourself. Remember, you are under divine protection. Of all the times David could have been killed, this one looked bad, but it was not the worst. Maybe your situation looks bad. There's not much good in it, but what are we going to do? We're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord by remembering I'm under divine protection. Angels are all around you. They are guarding you because your heavenly Father sent them for that purpose. Let me show you in Scripture, Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That is good. In today's world, pandemic and all, God has preserved you. Things could have happened. Things may be happening all around you, but God has been with you, surrounding you, protecting you. Psalms 91, 3 and 4. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence or the deadly disease from COVID-19. Come on. He will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Are you getting this today? God is protecting your life. I know 2020 came out of nowhere. It took us by surprise. I know it was really tough. Year. Many lost family members, many lost jobs or businesses, opportunities, and so many things. But all along, God had you surrounded and covered. And that ought to encourage you in the Lord. See, encouragement in the Lord doesn't mean that things just change instantly. It doesn't mean that the outlook is any better. But what it does mean, I'm refreshed. I'm filled with strength again. It means that I'm ready to hear from God and advance in the next season. And see, there are more battles ahead of us, but you are under divine protection. You are, your children, your family is under divine protection. Psalms 5, verse 12, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. We're talking about practical keys to encouraging ourselves in the Lord in the midst of whatever we're going through. Number one, rehearse your past victories. Number two, remember you're under divine protection. Here's the last one today. Remind yourself who your God is. When you need to encourage yourself in the Lord, take a moment to pause and remind yourself who God is. Some people, they don't know who God is. They have a mixed conception that God is maybe angry, that God is the big man upstairs, or that he's the guy in the big chair waiting to throw their lightning bolts down him. Some people see God like the Wizard of Oz, like this floating head that's kind of controlled by a guy behind the curtain and what's really going on. That's not who God is. Can I take a moment and tell you who your Father is, remind you who God is? He is your loving Heavenly Father. He's the creator and the owner of heaven and earth. Come on. He's the one who makes a way when it looks like there is no way. He is a miracle worker and he's able to do all things. When you're at the place where you feel like I don't have what it takes, remind yourself he's more than enough. When it looks like there won't be enough to do what you need to do, remind yourself that he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead and provides. He's Jehovah Nissi, your victory banner. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, your righteousness. He's Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you. Come on, look at what happened when David began to encourage himself in the Lord. Verse 8, David began to encourage himself in the Lord, and he began to seek the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? God, what do I do now? What next, God? Should I even believe that even though I've lost everything that you can restore? It seems like everything is gone. Are things really over for me? What now, God?" And I love how God responded to David. "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." God was saying to David, "Don't worry about it. You, without a doubt, you will recover it all. You will have success. Go on, you will see victory in whatever you're facing." And what, that's an amazing word from God, isn't it? Almost all of us who are going through something, have been through something, we're looking for answers. Wouldn't we love that kind of answer from God, right? You know, like, "God, is this going to work out for me?" And God says, "Yes, take it. You will certainly succeed. Everything is going to work out great." That's a great word from God. And as good as that word from the Lord was, if David would have never encouraged himself in the Lord, he never would have been in the place to receive that word from the Lord. If he would not have encouraged himself in the Lord, then his heart, his mind, his soul, it never would have been ready. He never would have been open to hear wisdom and direction what God had was leading him to do. God's part was clear. He was going to empower David and his men to win the battle, to win back all that they had lost and rescue their families. But David had a part as well. He had to start by encouraging himself in the Lord, remembering the past victories where God had been faithful, and then beginning to give God thanks, beginning to praise God. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. And not only did David go and win the battle, completely defeat the enemy, win his families back, get his wives and his kids back, and all of his stuff, but as he defeated the enemy, he was able to take possession of all of that they had. All the spoils, the animals, the clothes, the wealth of the enemy. It was so much that it was literally, everyone would call it, "That's David's spoils." Come on, I believe that's what God wants to do in our lives today. We're heading into a season of miracles. We're heading to a season where God's saying, it's time for you to advance in faith and not only recover what was lost and taken, but all the spoils aside. Come on, but we've got to start. We have a part. We've got to begin to get up and encourage ourselves in the Lord and not allow every little thing to overwhelm us. But when we feel that setting in, to encourage ourselves in the Lord, to begin to be strengthened in the Lord, to begin to receive joy from His presence. Come on, wherever you are today, jump to your feet and let's begin to pray. Lord, I thank you that whenever we're feeling overwhelmed, whenever life gets to be too much and it just seems to pile it on thing after thing, Lord, that no matter what we're dealing with, Lord God, that we can pause and encourage ourselves in you, that we can find strength in you. So let's just do it right now. Lord, we begin to encourage ourselves in you. Lord God, we remember all the times that you have been there for us. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that there is strength rising up on the inside of each and every one of us today. Strength to hold on one more day. Strength to continue to tap into that deep root that's inside of us, that we can lift our hands and say, God, you are so good. I might not see it right now, but I know you have something for me. And God, as we encourage ourselves, Lord God, I thank you, you begin to speak to us. You begin to remind us of victory, Lord God, that you have greater things ahead of us, Lord God, that we have what it takes to defeat the battles ahead of us, Lord God, because you've called us to victory. You've called us to be overcomers. You said that overwhelming victory would be ours. So I just declare that over your life right now. Overwhelming victory is yours. And God, I pray for those right now who've just been blindsided by something in their lives. We feel completely devastated, broken. We feel completely overwhelmed right now. And just even hearing this today, something is rising, but it just feels so strong. And you just need that hand of encouragement to reach out to you and just pull you up and be like, I know, I know. You're in that season of weeping and mourning. I just want you to know it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to weep and cry. It's not okay what happened to you, but it is okay to respond and weep and cry to get that stuff out of you. And I want you to know that if that's where you are, I'm praying for you. Can I pray for you right now? Lord, I thank you for all those who are just broken and hurting right now. Lord God, I pray the comfort of your Holy Spirit just invade right now, just to comfort those, to bring healing to those broken places. Lord, that we would begin to see light at the end of the tunnel, that this is not the end, that everything is not lost, everything is not over, that our best days are right in front of us, that you have greater things for us. So God, I pray as we receive comfort and healing from your Spirit, Lord God, that we would also begin to receive strength, that we would be renewed in you, Lord God. I thank you that confusion cannot stand in your presence, Lord God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And so I pray that over your lives today. And I want to pray for a second group of people. Those of you who are here and you're listening, you're in a battle right now, because it's part of you, like, you feel drawn towards God. You're like, wow, I want to know God like that. And at the same time, you're struggling, the battling with the doubts, maybe even resistance, fear. You understand that God, your Father, he's reaching out to you. But at the same time, you have a spiritual enemy, the devil, who wants to lie to you, tell you none of this isn't real. God doesn't really love you. He wouldn't waste his time on you. Listen, Jesus came to the cross just for you. God gave everything just for the chance of knowing you and being able to draw him close to you, right? Those of you, you're here today and you're ready. You're ready to receive Christ in your life. You're ready to call on the name of Jesus as your Savior so that you could know God in a real and personal way. If that's you, you're ready to say yes and surrender your life to him. Maybe you just need to come back to Jesus today and you want to be included in this prayer. Right now is your moment. You can click to raise your hand in the chat or even simply type the name Jesus wherever you're watching. But church, can we pray out loud all together as one family so no one is praying alone? Would you repeat this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus died for me so that I could live for you. Thank you for giving me new life. Today I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, come on, that's awesome. If you just prayed that prayer, man, all of heaven is rejoicing. We are rejoicing. I would love to encourage you and just give you some next steps to take in your faith. Would you, if you prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor? Just send me a message on whatever platform you're watching right now, or you can email me info@victoryorlando.com. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. I love you so much, and I can't wait to see you again right here next week at Church Online.